everybody loves a night out, whether it's seeing your favorite band in person or maybe being there in the crowd to cheer on your favorite team. Well, with the Vivid Seats Rewards loyalty program, you can go to the concert or show of your choice and earn credit towards your next live event. Vivid Seats is the top source for tickets for all the live events you want to go to. You can sort by price or look for seats in the section and row of your choice, all in the Vivid Seats app. To make things even better, Vivid Seats now has a loyalty program that allows fans to earn credit back. All you need to do is use the Vivid Seats app to purchase tickets and start earning today. Go to the App Store or Google Play and download the Vivid Seats app. Fans are automatically enrolled in the Vivid Seats Rewards loyalty program. Every purchase is backed by a 100% buyer guarantee. From the biggest concerts and games to the hottest theater shows and more, Vivid Seats has it all. Download the app and join the Vivid Seats Rewards loyalty program today. Make a memory that lasts a lifetime and let the Vivid Seats app help you get to your favorite live event. Enter promo code ESPN25 for 10% off your next order.
Eagles grounded, Bears down. We'll either make a move for help before this week's trade deadline. Tua out sooner or later. When your wagon mate goes to the wagon before helping you out. And also Altuve, Pantheon level stuff here. Let's go around the horn.
Chapman didn't throw his best pitch.
Rock me mama like a wagon wheel.
Is this the worst loss that you've been here?
Either one or two, yes.
I wonder if Doug Peterson be willing to guarantee that. Cowboys 37, Eagles 10. This was a full frontal throttling. Israel, was this the Cowboys riding the ship or the Eagles ship be sinking?
I mean, it's a little more toward the Eagles' ship be sinking. Now, I understand if you look at the injury reports, the Cowboys seem to get pretty healthy going into this week, and the Eagles were not. We're still missing plenty of players. But if you look at what the Cowboys did, they do what they're supposed to do. You had Dak Prescott playing good, not great, as QBR was in the 60s. You had Amari Cooper getting 100 yards, and you had Ezekiel Elliott getting 100-plus yards. That's pretty much the Dallas Cowboys there for you. What you wanted to see from the Eagles, a team whose coach guaranteed a victory, whether or not he said the word, was something, anything, any sort of fight. And really, it comes from Carson Wentz. When you are injured and you look to one person, it's almost always your quarterback. And in this case, it's certainly the quarterback who almost won MVP a couple of seasons ago before he got hurt. Three turnovers, that's the type of thing you can't do in that.
Frank Isola, more about the Cowboys or Eagles?
Yeah, I don't want to sound like Jerry Seinfeld, but what's the deal with the Eagles? You know, back-to-back losses by a combined 45 points. But, you know, a lot of talk about Doug Peterson guaranteeing a win. Let's remember, though, the coach that's been under fire is Jason Garrett. Whenever they lose, you have, you know, former players saying that he should be fired. So I look at what the Cowboys did offensively. 405 yards. This was a game that they had to have in a very poor division. Right now, they look like the class of the division. I'm not so sure you get a medal for that, but you certainly get first.
When people
place.
Ask Peterson if he guaranteed anything, he said, no pick! No pick! Ben Yates, how about you?
What's wrong with this team is simply the wide receiver production has been next to nil. They can't seem to complete passes to anyone. And the way that team has looked, I've said this, ever since Frank Reich and DeFilippo left, the offense has not been as dynamic. So you can talk about Super Bowl hangovers.
But you're putting that on coaching. You're putting that on receivers. You're not putting it on Wentz.
What I'm saying is that Wentz can't find this way in the offense as he once did when he had a different offensive coordinator. You've seen how well that has gone in Indianapolis. I just don't think this team has the brain trust to deliver on what they have on the roster as far as their talent.
Speaking of brain trust, I go to Woody Page for my brain trust. There we go, Woody. Cowboys or Eagles?
Well, the Cowboys have still not beaten a good team. If you think about this year, that wasn't a good team last night.
Playing.
So I have to go with the other guys. I have to go with the other guys in regard to the Eagles. I mean, they're on the precipice, and they play the Buffalo Bills on the road for the next game. They've lost, as was pointed out, by more than 40 points in their last two games. They have injury problems. They have a quarterback problem. Wentz doesn't look like he did when he was a star in this league. The wide receivers, they got to come get Manuel Sanders from the Broncos so they can have a second wide receiver there. Their defense has so many problems. I mean, they're missing Sproles. I know he's old, but he's been a guy that's always been a utility knife for them, and he's not around. I think that what they've got there is a team that A coach shouldn't be predicting victories or guaranteeing them. They've got a total mess there. It's like a wagon wheel accident.
Yes, of course. Oklahoma. You know, you said they're on the precipice. You kind of left us hanging there. On the precipice of what? I mean, we're on the cliff here. I mean, of falling apart and losing the season, right? Is anybody convinced this wasn't anything more than two mediocre teams last night? I mean, is that what we were looking at? Israel, you're holding your breath there.
It was one mediocre team in Dallas and one pretty bad team in Philadelphia. And they've given up 20 points in the first half of six games. Yeah. That's putting everybody in bad positions.
Yeah, week six, you get dump trucked by a team in your division. You're not just a team that hasn't figured it out. You're a bad football team.
We move on to what looks like a good football team, the Baltimore Ravens. What they did to the Seahawks in Seattle yesterday, they scored two defensive touchdowns. And Lamar Jackson, hundy by air, hundy by ground. Now, hundy by air, but by ground, how about that? And this was the key fourth down with his coach on the sideline. You see this? Oh, yeah, we want to go for it. Clinton, your takeaway on Lamar and on the Baltimore.
My takeaway on Lamar Jackson is that this is exactly what you drafted this player for. People wanted to talk about how, oh, there was all this position concern about what he should play, and then he aired it out against the Dolphins, and everybody was impressed. But the bottom line is that the guy still's got quicks like no other quarterback in the league, and so you want to be able to use that when he's not as available or as effective by air. There's no problem with this at all. The guy did everything you know he can do, and you won the game. There's nothing to complain about.
Israel, you're nodding along, and you're about to lose the hair part in your hair. You're nodding so much. Please.
I mean, yeah, I don't know what's going on. But look, I think of Lamar Jackson all of a sudden as an MVP candidate here. Look, you get some people discussing, oh, well, he has to run all this time. No, he can do that. And he can do that in Seattle against another MVP candidate in Russell Wilson. And he did that despite his receivers, I'm looking at you, Andrews, dropping some seriously significant passes there. And he still carried the load here. Look, if you can run for 1,300 yards, which he is on pace to do, then you do it, right? As a quarterback, you absolutely might length shorten his career by a year or two, but the right...
Oh, but that's his career, not your career, Israel, so you're fine with that. Wait. So MVP Israel throws out there. Woody Page, you want to address that?
Yeah, let's slow down a little bit, Israel. I mean, the guy's got to complete more than 50% of his passes. Yes, he's a good running quarterback. You think he's better? I heard somebody say last night, oh, he's the best quarterback in the conference. Can we talk about Tom Brady still being around and being undefeated before we crown him?
Deshaun Watson last week.
Someone said to, yeah, I mean, really. The point is, yes, he is an excellent running quarterback, and that made a difference in the game last night. But he's still got to develop his passing techniques. He's got to have a better understanding of defenses and what's going on down the field. And he played, we're speaking of mediocre teams. Guess what Seattle has lately become? They're nothing more than a mediocre
team. Record-wise, they're certainly not. I want to get into the schematics of why you don't think he can go downfield. I saw a few drops from Mark Andrews yesterday that were downfield. Frank Isola, first you, though.
You know, it's funny. Clinton mentioned the Miami game. If you remember, after the game, Lamar Jackson said, when they talked about how well he did passing, he said, yeah, not bad for a running back. Well, guess what? He still is a terrific running quarterback, and there's nothing wrong with that. But over time, he's going to have to develop to stand more in the pocket because he's going to get hurt running, you know, if he keeps running. But if you look at their two Super Bowl winning teams, Trent Dilfer and then Joe Flacco, they won because of their defense and good quarterbacks. He's better than both those guys. It's still about the defense with the Ravens. And need I remind you, last year against the playoffs against San Diego, he did not have a great game.
Clint Yates back in.
I just don't understand why we're so caught up in the nomenclature of running quarterback. He can pass very well. He can run very well. I don't just look at him as running quarterback. He's Lamar Jackson, and that might be more
Israel.
Than enough.
But even if he is just a running quarterback, so far what we've seen is he's the best at that we've ever seen. Yeah. Better than Michael Vick. So you scheme with him, you win with him.
Right. I mean, Christian McCaffrey at the moment is, I think, third in the league in rushing, and he's an MVP candidate. Well, Lamar Jackson's sixth in the league in rushing while playing quarterback. That's an MVP candidate. I guess Israel's on to something. Right. We move on. Let's talk baseball now. Jose Altuve, welcome to the Pantheon. The LCS walk-off, apex predator stuff from the Houston Astros. How the Yankees should feel about going out like that. Chapman's reaction was diagnosed by some as laughter. He said he was in shock. Aaron Judge called the season a failure. Frank, I go to you for New York failure. What did you think?
Well, number one, you know, good luck to the Washington Nationals trying to get out Alex Bregman and Jose Altuve. For 5-6, he packs a lot of wallop in that swing of his. But for the Yankees now, that's twice in the last 3 years that they lost to Houston. It's about time they address pitching. The Yankees keep trying to beat everybody with their lineup, and it's not working. You need a better staff. And remember, if it had gone 7 last night, you would have seen Garrett Cole against Severino advantage Houston. They need to address pitching.
Len Yates.
If it had gone 7, it didn't go 7 because the team that matters here, the Houston Astros, knocked them out before that. Why are we spending so much time
about the
talking
Yankees.
About the New York Yankees? Yeah, but their lineup has been up and down all season because of injuries. Giancarlo Stanton didn't even barely play this season. I'm not concerned about what Booney did with a team that was barely constructed. The Astros here are the story. They made the move at the trade deadline to get Greinke, which was incredible, and then they walk off of a guy who throws a hundo on the mound. I'm sorry. I am beyond impressed with how Houston banged out the Yanks. And if you're a Nats fan, you're more worried about them now from a momentum, but just from
momentum. Here we go. Yeah. By the way, that was a slider. I think I saw that you said that Chapman threw there. So the hundo wasn't even on that pitch. Woody Page, what Altuve did and how the Yankees season ends.
I don't want to talk about the losing team.
Okay.
Let's talk about the winners. I mean, Clint's absolutely right. That last minute of the game made the Astros actually be in the World Series. Altuve has been a World Series champion. He's been a world's most valuable champion. He is the best player.
World's most valuable. I understand what you're saying, Woody Page. This is a Pantheon-level moment for Jose Altuve. Seeing the Astros get to the World Series again, second time in 3 years, how dangerous is this team?
Oh, when you have those three pitchers, I think you go with them. I think what stunned me more than anything is we're in the sixth game and we're pitching relief pitchers all over everywhere rather than having someone who's actually a professional starter out there. But once we get into the World Series, and if you don't have rain problems, it will play absolutely right for the Astros and their fans who look like 50,000 Marlin men out there last night and enjoying themselves. I loved it.
We're going to make that a banned word in this show. I think you know what you said. There is Israel Gutierrez. How about you?
With all due respect to the Nationals and their story, this felt like a World Series. And the end of that felt like just an intense moment, but also just a reminder. Hey, these are the Houston Astros. This is kind of the team of this decade, it feels like, toward the end half or the end portion of it. And just Jose Altuve, just the 5'6", you know, the size of him, just the glory of him, not only hitting that home run, but showing people that, hey, pound for pound, probably the best athlete in sports, and just casually, calmly running around the bases. And they kept the Yankees out of the World Series for this decade. And so that, to me, is kind of a moment you can say, hey, we are the team.
I know we had some fun with Frank. I did ask him about New York. Speaking of the decade, Frank, I read in the Wall Street Journal, and I say that to credit the Wall Street Journal, not because my robot butler dragged me the journal this morning, that they had the most wins in the entire decade and didn't even win a pennant once. Absolute failure for New York, Frank?
No, it's not absolute failure. It just shows what a great job Joe Girardi did, and they need to get better starting pitching. Go out and get Garrett Cole instead of trying to get another bat. Stan didn't even play.
All right, we're moving on by ourselves next as we go to break here. We talk about the Goodfellas Copacabana shot all the time on this show. It's my favorite. The Children of Men car scene. Look at this Cordero Patterson return tracking shot on the sky cam yesterday. Look at this.
So perfect.
Bravo to the cam. Bravo to the sky. This was one of three visual masterpieces on the NFL Sunday. Every shot from Washington, San Francisco was a masterpiece, including this. Mm. And then how about the Chicago skyline again? Bravo to the sky. Buy or sell is next.
Made my eyes smile.
Around the Horn is brought to you by BMW. The ultimate driving machine. Welcome back to Around the Horn, brought to you by Chase. Coming to you from the Seaport District at Pier 17.
Saints 36, Bears 25. Booze at home for Chicago. The Suntimes, two haymaker headlines. You ready? Matt Nagy had 2 weeks to fix the Bears. This is what he came up with? And if the Bears didn't replace Mitch Trubisky on Sunday, when would they ever? Woo! Clinton, how serious is this for Chicago? Do you see them making a move at quarterback? Maybe even making a move at the trade deadline this week?
If they make a move at quarterback, they better not just move the quarterback. They better move the GM as well. Let's not forget they traded up to get Trubisky and then passed on Mahomes and Watson in the draft. If you give up on him, you're giving up on a lot of the future. But lastly, I don't love the fact that the coach is blaming the media for negative outlooks. Your team is having problems. It's their job to tell the rest of the folks about that. Get your squad together, Miggy.
You want to get rid of a guy you just brought back? He's playing with a sling on his left arm with a team that's not very good. And who are you going to go get? Andy Dalton? Cam Newton? Joe Flacco? No. Let him finish out this year and see what you got. You were so excited about him last year, and now you've totally turned on him?
This is a team I heard when we started the season on this show, all they needed was a kicker, and they were going to the Super Bowl with Israel Gutierrez. How serious is this for Chicago?
It was Clinton who said that, by the way. Look, I think it's quite serious. I do think it would be pretty unprecedented, though, for them to go get another quarterback from another team midseason and say, hey, come save our Super Bowl winning defense or Super Bowl champion level defense. I do think it is a little bit unfair to have him come back, as what he said, from the injury first game against a really good team and throw 53 times and say, hey, now we're going to judge you.
Frank Isola.
Woody Page is the voice of reason. The guy just came back from injury. We've got to get out of this world where every week it's like, is the guy an MVP candidate? Is he the future? Is he a bum? I vaguely remember him driving the team into field goal position for a playoff game last year, and the guy missed the kick. They should have won a playoff game last year.
Frank, are you familiar what it is we do on this show? I mean, just asking. Well, take the Saints.
It's every week. He's a bum.
Saints got the 6-1 yesterday. They're 5-0 without Breeze. 5-0 with Teddy Bridge. And the Packers, 6-1, perfect Rodgers yesterday. The Vikings, 5-2, with near-perfect Cousins. And the Niners, 6-0 in this mud fest, but a very well-timed ball game. 2 hours and 36 minutes. A tip of the cap to you, too. Woody, how do you rank those top four in the NFC?
Well, I go number one with the Saints, and I go number two with the 49ers, who still have some value questions there if you're thinking about it. But the Saints, Sean Payton was brilliant again yesterday. Coach of the Year candidate, guys, if you will. And they did it without Breeze, and they did it without Kamara, who is one of the best running backs in the league. That's number one for me.
Israel.
I'll go Saints, Packers, Niners, and Vikings in that order. The Saints, Woody just talked about. In terms of the Packers, look, I know they haven't been great, and you've been waiting for that offense to really come around. We just saw it. And so if we see a lot more of Aaron Rodgers looking more like Aaron Rodgers to match that defense that's been carrying him for a while, Packers are legit.
Frank Isola?
I don't want to upset Richard Sherman. He's a brilliant player. I would put them fourth on that list.
Watch yourself.
Give Minnesota some
credit.
Watch
yourself, Frank.
That team almost imploded a couple weeks ago. Think about the way that they played since then.
Pretty All right, impressive. So you give Minnesota credit for beating the Lions, but you're not giving San Francisco much credit
and
for being
Eagles.
6-0. All right. Clint Yates, how about you?
Yeah, that's on their schedule. They got to play that game. They won it in a disastrous weather situation. That's why I've got the Niners. They're only second behind the Saints, in my opinion, because of the fact that they crushed people. That margin of victory is still something there, but the Saints ultimately have too many weapons for me to not consider them the best on this list.
Fire cell three, surgery for Tua, high ankle sprain. He had this last year on his left ankle. This year it's his right ankle. Last year he didn't miss a game because it was in between championship game and bowl, but it was 29 days off. This year, he's going to miss Arkansas next week. Then there's a bye. LSU game is in 20 days. Is he concerned? Panic? By herself.
I don't think you're panicking yet because he did have it last year. And I'll even say this. If he does not come back against LSU and they still have a decent showing, they still have a perfectly decent chance of making the semifinals and winning a championship. So it's not panic time with
Frank Isola.
This fits right into Nick Saban trying to paint the Alabama Crimson Tide
as an underdog.
Yeah. We'll be back from LSU. He said he will be back. So you know what? It's all part of the great story.
Clint Yates.
To be fair, in the long scheme of this, they are an underdog if they don't have Tua. This is a reasonable point. If they lose that game, nobody's putting Alabama in the Final Four.
Israel just said it on this here program.
Give it time.
The man who remembered your Chicago Bears.
Jalen Hurts is a better story. He'll be there.
What is this? Game of Thrones? The best story gets you there? Woody Page, how about you?
Tua said last year before the playoff game that he was at 85%. He's going to have less time. So I think he's going to be around 75%. You're going up against a guy who could be the number one pick quarterback next year for LSU. I think there should be high anxiety in Alabama because LSU just keeps getting better and better, particularly quarterback.
Say goodbye to Clint Yates and Woody Page. We're going to get better and better in showdown with Israel Gutierrez. And here's a quick showdown for you guys. Frank, Israel, worst decision on a football field this weekend. Arkansas's very fake punt interception. Or the Sooner Schooner Petit Dejeuner. And look at the guys. They get off, but then they go help the wagon and knock the two people who fell off.
Izzy's flag
we
football
stop doing
team
this
never
already?
Made that mistake.
What? Why does that wagon get so much stuff in it? We'll be back. Showdown next.
That beer.
What is it? What are we doing there?
There's crispy. And then there's crispy-er. Try our new and improved Tyson Crispy Chicken Strips. Crispy just got crispy-er.
How Titans Chargers ended. Two game winning LA touchdowns overturned by replay, spotted at the 1-inch line, and then the third would-be game-winning touchdown fumbled at the 1-inch line. Tennessee defense snatching victory from the jaws of defeat, and the refs hanging on for dear life. Israel, Frank, welcome to Showdown. Who got this right? Who got this wrong? Who got lucky?
I mean, unfortunately, the cameras got it right, and that's what the Chargers are upset about. They thought they had touchdowns, and the replays told you that they didn't. I understand losing that way is frustrating, but come on. Like, if you're going to be angry, you got to be angry at technology.
Melvin Gordon looked like he was continuing his holdout at the 1-inch line. I don't know. You have Philip Rivers on your team. He's going to be in the Hall of Fame one day. How about he rolls out a little bit, throw him a little pass? That's a bad loss. Bad
Violent. Loss. Violent for my Sola. 5-point answer. Your work's cut out for you, Israel. Showdown 2. Clemson. They dropped in the rankings again to number 4. But here's what we're talking about. Dabo Swinney having defensive back Andrew Booth Jr., who got kicked out of the game for throwing a punch, take the bus home with team managers the 450 miles from Louisville instead of flying with the team. Frank, does that punishment fit the crime?
No, it doesn't. It seems mean-spirited. With the money that they make, everyone should be flying, including the managers. I will say this. For what he did, you want to suspend him a game? Fine. He should have been on the plane with the team coming back. You go as a team, you come back as a team. I didn't like that.
In terms of an actual penalty, it's not that bad, but at least make it a football penalty. Like, what is Dabo Swinney going to get out of this from punishing this player and making him take this bus? You know what's not going to happen? He's not going to be suspended, so he'll have him available for the next game.
What are the team managers doing driving 450 miles? Clemson can't get them on a plane as well with all that program brings in. Frank Isola, 30 seconds of FaceTime.
Well, we had another great football weekend, and I want to acknowledge one of the best footballers from the state of New Jersey, Heather O'Reilly, who won a couple of national championships at North Carolina, won championships with the U.S. national team at the World Cup and in the Olympics. And on Sunday, in what will be her final match ever, she has a chance to win one more when the Carolina Courage play the Chicago Stars in the NWSL championship game. Good for Heather O'Reilly. And by the way, she once made Tony Reale look silly on a soccer field. More privacy.
Yes, that is one of the greatest moments
so
of my life.
Hey,
I love Heather Ann O'Reilly. One of the GOATs. That's going
to
do it, folks.
Yep.
See you tomorrow.